what was then. The big joke in electrical world in 1899 was that they were talking about the most expensive and the cheapest electric bill that had to be paid in the city. And the cheapest monthly electric bill was 50 cents. And that went to a dog grooming place at 333 West 53rd Street.
That is very funny. Yeah, there were a ton of electric companies back then, too. Manhattan had boasted a great share of electric companies. But anyway, they're digging over there. They got some really big earth-moving equipment in there, this big backhoe thing. And you can see there was a basement, because I'm looking down from the roof. You can see there were two entrances, so like two separate basements. They've been pulling pipes and conduits and all kinds of stuff out of the hole. But then they started pulling up these tremendous I-beams out of the hole. And that's when they started smashing them against the wall of our building. And we had to take action. We had a stop work order issued to them. Now they have to file insurance with us and paperwork, you know, the plans, the drawings of what they're doing over there. But they still won't tell us what's going up or what's going on there. Everybody seems to be very, you know, quiet about it.
KF2WR, WA2AXZ, and the K2IX group. Well, it's interesting. Again, the only thing that was there at the time was like a four- or five-story walk-up, an old brownstone type apartment building. So no big businesses at all. So that's probably what they have down there. You've got to keep an eye on that corner, too, because we had a crack in the building on that corner there, and you definitely don't want to aggravate that. But it's always nice to have somebody else pay for it if it decides to open up a little bit. It's very interesting that they're not telling you what's going there. Whatever they're going to put there can't be any higher than pretty much the surrounding buildings. Maybe about five or six stories. Well, maybe the yuppies are moving in again.
You know, previously they had like a little stage back there. It was a little theater thing going on. And then it, you know, belonged to the courts. And it was just this really strange courtyard setup. They had some vans in there, but then they had a little stage. And, you know, they had chairs back there. It's just an awfully strange. I think the court building from 54th Street still owns it.
Nothing surprises me. And if the court owns it, if it's city owned, we should be able to find out what it is. You know, the old story, we'll let my lawyers talk to your lawyers. By the way, Andy, I've been meaning to talk to you for a couple of weeks now. When you sent me that photo of the finger, I thought that was something you got off the internet. When I was looking at it, I didn't know it was you until a couple of days later I went to 53rd Street and you weren't there, and they said, oh no, you chopped up your finger. I felt so bad. I thought that was something you dug up.
Yeah, those are my fingers. All 25 stitches. They actually sewed the tops back on two of them, which I'm very happy about, by the way. They got to put those back on. But I was tuning up the plane. I had the thing running at full bore, 16,000 RPMs. And the thing's almost, probably about a horsepower, or 1.5 horses. And I looked back to pick something up while I was tuning the engine. When I twisted my body to look behind me, the thing has just moved that inch forward. That's all she wrote.
God. How is it? Are the nails, everything is pretty much there? And when my finger got chopped, they were able to save the nail, so it grew back. Not the prettiest thing in the world, but it's back.
Well, two of them went completely through. It just sliced right through the center section of the nail and the tops of the fingers. They were just hanging off. And the other one was just a straight slice. But yeah, right through the thumbnail, long ways. Unbelievable. But they sewed it back on, and it was real funny. The guy, well, funny as it can be, the fellow sewing the fingers back on, I was in the emergency room. It was about 10 a.m. And he said I was the third propeller he's done. And the propeller looks just like a blender accident. Same exact cuts he goes when somebody puts their hand into a blender. But he says, I was his first set of fingers for the day, and he figured he'll be doing at least three more sets of fingers and one set of toes on a Saturday. Let me let it drop. And I looked at him. I was like, what do you mean? You got like your day planned? This is all you do is sew on fingers and toes all day? He goes, oh yeah, especially weekends in the summer. He goes, because at least three people will be in here later because they were cleaning the grass out of the lawnmower with the thing running. Yeah. And he goes, one guy will be in here because he was cutting the grass with his sandals on. So he goes, it's just, you know, it's how I spend my day. He was just so nonchalant about it. It was so funny.
Man, must be so nonchalant. He's seen it all, so, you know, what the heck. Well, the guys that put my hands back together was Dr. Burns. And this was back during the time of MASH. And I was joking with him. I said, you're not the Dr. Burns from MASH, are you? But it was funny. When they did mine, they had to take a chunk out of my right arm and make a transplant piece for it. And what he decided to do, he was one of the chief surgeons. He held a class while he was doing it. So there was about 10 doctors around him watching it. And they wanted to know if, you know, I just wanted the board over there. You know, you don't want to look at it. Says, no, I'll look. I like seeing what you're doing. And he was slicing and dicing and giving the class while he's putting everything back together. Go figure. Well, I'm happy. It's okay. The pain's subsiding a little bit. Again, I put that call out for the parts. Remember, I sent that email out looking for the Ameritron parts? Yeah, I finally broke down, called up Ameritron Monday morning and ordered the caps and the resistors and other parts for the $260, which isn't bad. I've been waiting, and you know, thinking that the thing would have been shipped and I would have it by Friday. And I sent they gave me the tracing notes, so I put the tracing notes through and oh no, we didn't ship it yet. What? You didn't ship it yet? So I sent them an email and saying, you guys told me all the stuff was in stock on Monday and it would be shipped on Monday. Now when am I going to get this? St. Swithin's Day? But right now I'm looking at the amp sitting on the floor. It's decapitated. That's the polite way of putting it. All the caps are out. Go ahead.
It's really strange, Bobby. What made it blow?
Ameritron is an interesting company. 1800 volt power supply in the plate section there. And they use four caps in the series, 270 microfarads at 450 volts. What's 450 times 4?
450 times 40?
450 volts times four caps in series is 1800 volts. So what they're doing is they have this power supply maxed beyond belief. If there's, you know, there may be a little leeway plus or minus 10% you get away with. But you talk about the caps being maxed out. So the first two caps right off the diode bridge that takes the brunt of the 1800 volts, they shorted. And then there's equalizing resistors. They're 50K at 7 watts wire wound. Two of those opened up. And when that shorted and went full, it took a meter diode with it. So I talked to the guys, and like you talk to your doctor, and he says, oh, you're the third one today. I talked to the people down in Ameritron, and this happens all the time. I was trying to get bigger caps. Apparently everything is set to size, everything is set to specs for the manufacturer, and you can't get any.
And I'm sure you researched this around the web to see if you can find anybody else who has gone in there and ever so conveniently tweaked one of these, right? There is a website for that.
The problem is, what I'm going to do is this. I can't play around, so I'm going to put the parts in. Whenever the parts get here, I'll get it back on the air. I haven't been on 160 all week, and I've been enjoying the rest, so we'll have to see what happens. If push comes to shove, I'll put the original parts in, get it back on the air. But I'm taking the old caps, and I'm going to see if I can get 500 or 550 old caps, maybe a few MFD, maybe 300 MFD, and see what that does. That should have no adverse effect on the power supply, other than making it a little smoother. We'll see, like everything else, we'll see. So let's see if anyone else is out there from K2IRT. I know it's summertime, a lot of the guys are not here. Let's see if Charles is around. WB2YZX, you're on the Briggs East Trolling. Yeah, well, Andy looks like the gang is just taking another day off. Don't blame them in the least. So, other than that, in 53rd Street, keep hearing all these horror stories going on. Good.
Yeah, it's one horror story after the next, though. But yeah, we keep it running. We keep it put together. Vinny is going over to a cable section. He'll be starting over there on a temporary bifurcated basis, for lack of a better term. He'll be working between SO and cable section. He'll be the capital guy over there. He's starting there tomorrow. Will be his first day.
He must be overjoyed at that. All the other stuff going on. What happened to cable section with the Inspector General? He's got to be very careful, guys.
Yeah, so it'll look good too. A little new blood in there, without a doubt. Well, I got it here. I decided to hack the... Which model you got there?
The 3-2.
Yeah, there might be a hack here. If I pull something up here, Bobby, I'll send it to you. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah, go ahead, Kevin. If you do find anything, I'll try it. Then we'll get this thing running. So I have the special event kicking off September 6th, so at least I'll have the thing fixed up so it'll be running full power until I can do the modifications. And it's funny because I've got room. The caps, hold on, I got one right here. You know, typical Cornell Dubia caps with the screw connections on them. And the little sucker is only, 2.25 inches high by half wide diameter. And I have the ability of putting longer caps in there if I have to. Probably stick 4-inch caps, 4-inch long. But I'd have to modify the board if it's not the screw top. And that's what I'm trying to avoid. I don't want to start drilling into the board and mangling that.
Yeah, I just came across a video here from Amateur Logic TV. Episode 18 is the Ameritron Amplifier Factory Tour. And it has complex hacks and cool gadgets. And they have the back off. I'm not going to start the video because it looks like it's 28 minutes and 30 seconds long. But I'll see if I can box that up for you.
Remember, I have dial-up, so anything more than a mega, I don't know about that. This month's QST, they actually did a tour. The president of ARRL went down to MFJ and toured the Ameritron and the MFJ factory down there. And they got a couple of pages showing how they put things together there. Yeah, it's interesting. Again, everyone has their terms for MFJ, but it's pretty much the biggest company. Good.
You know, everybody, does have their acronyms for them. But I'll tell you, as a new ham, when I was getting into it, their stuff was affordable, it worked. And, you know, just getting into this hobby, you got to buy so much stuff just to get off the ground and get on the air. I mean, I'm looking at my shelf here right now. I got a lot of MFJ stuff rolling around on these shelves. from microphone PNC switches to speaker boxes, you know, to batteries. There's a ton of stuff here. I don't really have anything bad to say about them. I even got the MFJ DX's world map clock sitting here running.
Well, my MFJ stuff works. Never had a problem, so as long as little odds and ends, you know, I can fix things. That's one of the good things. And that's one of the good things about being on ham radio, that there's a good chance that we can take something apart and put it back together again and get it reasonably working quite well. So, you get some of the new ones now. I saw the inside guts. They had one of the new ICOMs. 7700 opened up there, and I just don't know how. They must have munchkins over in the ICOM factory putting those things together. KF2WR, got the K2RFT group.
Yeah, well, stuff today is not made to be fixed, so, you know, a large majority of this stuff. The switches we can handle fixing and some of the older gear. This new stuff is just, you know, plug and pray, you know, slap new parts into it. But I'd love to see how all that is actually put together, the surface mount technology. I'm amazed. I've tried taking surface mount technology apart, not to rescue it, but just to see if my skills were good enough to take it apart. And I tell you, you do more damage going in there with a soldering gun than anything else.
Yeah. Well, that's one good thing on the Ameritron amp. Well, I've got that 40-watt pencil iron, and I'll get away with putting it all back together that way. But you've got some of these surface mount components where they have maybe 20 connections within a quarter of an inch. Good luck. Good luck. But this is something that we'll just have to take care of when we take care of it. One of the guys down the block, the fellow who's the president of the USS Intrepid Association, handed me a Zenith radio dated back to about 1938, 1939. And it's in its wooden case, and it's got the tubes in there, and this thing must have been sitting in a haystack somewhere. I haven't had a chance to open that thing up yet, but I have visions of what I'm going to find when I open it up. But one thing I did see when I saw the back of these old radios, they needed a big antenna back in those days. What they did, they took fine wire, and the wire was coated with this milliner stuff there, the cotton cloth. And then a couple of hundred turns of this fine wire on the back compartment door. And what happened was it just fell off of that. It looks like a big Chinese noodle factory back there, good.
Yeah, but you look back there and you see the radio has a chassis. And you see somebody actually sat there sitting at a bench, you know, with his gun, doo-doo-doo. And over the years, you know, once or twice, you've probably been to the radio shop on the corner, had to have something replaced, and somebody sat there with a gun, pulled out a part or two, put a part or two in. I rebuilt an old GE radio here, and I actually purchased a kit. They had a cap kit they were selling, one of the websites had. And if you have the radio spec and number, then, you know, the model number, and if it wasn't popular, they would send you a whole kit with all the caps and a schematic to it. And you were able just to sit home, match up all the caps, and solder them in.
Yeah, Johnny T does his antique jukebox. And they've got that. They've got the little wax caps and all the other caps that might spill over after a few dozen years. And they buy the kit, you do a complete transplant on it. I'll see what I can do with this. I'll try to keep everything original. But one of my old radio repair manuals tells you what you have to do is you've got to get a 100-watt light bulb in series. Set this up, and you never turn a vintage radio, boat anchor, or anything right onto the AC line. Always buffer it with a 100-watt bulb. If you have a resistor or something, you just reduce the amount of power going in. Just prevents it from shocking the capacitors and the other components. You can slowly bring this thing up. It's not going to turn the radio on, but it'll heat the tubes, it'll bring the voltage up somewhat, and breathe a little life into it.
Yeah, you don't want to put line voltage to something that's been sitting in front of you for any length of time. Especially if people pull these things out of an attic or a garage or something that's been sitting for 5-10 years, they'll just wind up hurting it, without a doubt. But there's still a lot of that old stuff out there. You look in the yard sales and whatnot. I like playing with it. I like cleaning them up.
Well, it's time and space. And, let's have a little laundry list of stuff that I'm going to be doing over here when it's cooked. Ripping everything out of the Radio Shack, the cabinet, the floor, the wall, everything is going to be ripped out. I'm going to paint, set it up nice. And of course, the phone has to ring again. And, again, nothing was done. Yeah, Grandma, when she had this house, everything was beige.
Andy,
I'll be right back. KF2WR,
K2IRT. Yeah, I heard that phone in the back room. This is KF2WR, the K2IRT net, from New York City Transit Amateur Radio Club. If anybody's out there and wants to check in, please do now.
Look in their face like, can I get into now? AFPWR, you got the K2IRT group.
WA2AZ, KF2WR. Yeah, they still got that box of negative up at Cuzzy's house. I gotta get on that. I gotta send him an email. In fact, I should see about just borrowing his scanner. He's got the scanner, you just feed him in and it makes JPEGs. You guys use it at the museum?
No, that'd be good. That'd be good. No, they have a flatbed scan of the plane pictures. But we don't have anything for film. Now, I have a film, a negative... A film and slide converter. Unfortunately, it's only 35 millimeter. And we need something that's just more hardier for the larger film. I think we've got a couple of negatives in there, like 120 to 620.
Yeah, I think it's like that 126 or something, that real wide one. There was a variety of films back in the day, recall?
You had everything from your Brownie cameras. I even found, what the hell was it, in the 1970s, they had the disc camera. And you put this flat little thing in there, 24 pictures out of this thing. And it was tiny. It looked like you were taking pictures with microfilm. And I actually found a couple of the discs in the pile of negatives that I had. And if you look at them, all the pictures of the day, how the heck are we going to convert that?
You know, I had one of those disc cameras, one of those Kodak disc cameras. And it's very funny you mention that because they're very reminiscent. If you look at today's digital camera, and look, it's the same dimensions, but it just doesn't have, of course, the screen on the back.
Well, again, that's what they had to do. They tried to make it more compact, you know, for the women more than anything else. You know, stick it in your purse. And pretty much all the compact cameras that they have today are very skinny, very flat. They've got a couple of them. You know, I saw your cousin there with his big electronic setup that he has. You know, those are beautiful cameras, and they take much more professional quality pictures. But it's just amazing to see the quality you get out of your little handheld Canons and Yashicas now.
Yeah, these little ones have come leaps and bounds, no doubt. And it's not only the camera and the amount of megapixels, it's the software in the camera installed by the manufacturer that really makes a tremendous amount of the difference also.
I just took a tour there to see if anyone wanted to join us. Get the K2IRT. Well, we'll have to see what happens. Depending on the software that you have in the camera and what kind of power you have in the computer to do it. My son-in-law, Bobby's dad there, has this Apple computer. It's a monster Apple computer. And he's actually doing TV commercials on the Apple. He does graphic arts, Nickelodeon, and does freelance work. And I saw what he did today, and it's just amazing what they can do. And just try to figure out what they do on the camera to get such a high quality to be in the commercial work. KF2WR, WA2AXZ, and the K2IRT.
I'm a big fan of my Apple when it comes to anything like that that has to do with audio, visual, you know, projects. I'm a big fan of it. It just works so much better, without a doubt. That's something they really got right, because you can drag and drop from every program on there. But like anything else, it's a computer, and there's a tremendous learning curve with it. I just took a big step into the past here. I went and I bought a fountain pen.
The fillable one, or the one with the shape for cartridges?
It has a cartridge, but they sell a gizmo that goes, if you wish, you can buy a cartridge that will refill off of the ink bottle. Pretty trick. You know, I like it. It's a different style of writing altogether. I think that's where I'm going to head from now on. And the newer ones, It's the same technology, but just, you know, more refined than the old days. You could put this in your pocket and not wind up with that big blue stain.
Andy, when I was going to high school, that's all I ever used. I had a love for the Schaefer pens. They had the Schaefer calligraphy collection. And you got this beautiful pen with a different type of nibs at the end to, change the size of print. You had the different cartridges. Of course, you had the black, the blue, the gold, the red. You could do just about anything. And even though my handwriting really, you could probably take it to a pharmacy and have it filled. It helped it a little bit. Not much, but it helped it a bit. AF2WR, KQIRT.
Funny, I found this pen store down on Warren Street, one block off of Broadway, which is Warren's one block south of Chambers, and right off of Broadway. It's called the Fountain Pen Hospital. The guy's been there since like 1940. What a place. I was in there with Bobby S., my partner there, Bobby, and he is so comical. He turns to the guy. He goes, hey fella, I just got to ask you, what's the difference between a $300 pen and a $3,000 pen?
If I were the guy, I'd look around and smile and say, $2,700.
The guy was really nice. The guy who owns the place, I think since 1940, he was really nice, this old fella, and he just told us, you know, different nibs and, after $300, he goes, the workings of the pen are the same, the nibs and everything, but it's just, you know, quality and craftsmanship of the material. But I bought a nice pen. It was $40. I'm real happy with it. I think I'm going to start a little collection here.
That's the way to do it. Got some of my grandfather's pens downstairs. Everything, we have an old cabinet that we keep everything in. It's just something to go through it from time to time to see what they used to use. Gotta go back to the goose feather quill there. Ben Franklin had me. Let's see if PQY is still out there. PQY, are you still on the frequency? Laid off, had to go into audition for their new position in the MTA, and if not going to be a transit press office anymore. They're making one big conglomeration. More railroads, not just transit bus, private bus.
Name is Sam, like Uncle Sam.
Fine business, Sam. Looks like you got to a much better location now.
Yeah, there's a dead spot somewhere in Nassau County that I go through. It's just I'm only running about 5 watts.
Doing a nice trip into the machine then, without a doubt. You in the mobile right now?
That's right. In the mobile, I just got a little diamond antenna, mag mounted to the roof, and seems to do the job, but there's some good dead spots a long way in Nassau, I guess because of the hills.
Yeah, the topography will wreak havoc on this, without a doubt. I'm all the way out here in Jersey, I know that feeling. But yeah, that diamond seems to be still working pretty well.
My destination. I'm just going to go QFT, I guess. Spend the midnight at work. So, good talking with you. Enjoyed the conversation, especially about the antique radios. And I'll be talking to you soon. KC2PUI will be clear.
KC2PUI from KF2WR on the K2IRT group. Susan, you have a safe night out there tonight. Just be careful above all.
Thanks for that. Have a good night. KC2PUI clip.
Alright, 73CY. Have a good night and have a safe night up in the yard there. I'm back, Andy. Hoping that these phone calls stop. I'm going to press a magic button and short the line.
Yeah, that's how I feel when I come home from work, I'm done answering the phone. I just want to unplug the thing.
Well, I'm going to do a little surgery in a little bit. I got these MFJ earphones that we can use for field days. Set the car. It looks funny when I'm driving. I have a set of earphones on and the hat on, like I'm getting ready to take off runway 24. Wrong plug, the wire going into it. Giving me grief. So then I went to Radio Shack and picked up one of those armored ones with the spring relief on the end there to take the bend. But take this thing apart and see which one goes where and try to get this thing shot up on it and connected. Great, it's a great set of headphones there. Something very useful. All right, Andy, I don't know if you have anything else besides just to help me. just looking disgusting. The amplifier on the floor. It's like I just put it there, and the dog is looking at the capacitor, and he wants to see what.
Yeah, that'd be cruel to let him play with the charges when if you had that laying around. All right, yeah, Bobby. A pleasure as always. Pleasure as always. We'll get together soon. All right, be safe and be well.
Yeah, Randy, you have a great night. Take care of that hand, all right? And anything. Remember we talked about that vertical antenna? So if you want me to come over and help you with that thing, keep that in the back of your mind and we'll come up.
Really appreciate it, Lowe. We'll go. 73 for now.
All right, Andy, be safe. And that's it for K2IRT. Night, but we always had a great time. I want to thank the radio, the net operators there, and the repeater operators for allowing us time. I'm just going to get the soldering iron out and the 3-pound light electrical hammer to do my job. Bye-bye for now. W-A-2-A-X-E-K-2-I-R-E.